Good morning.
Good morning.
I hope you're all doing just as a gentleman from down in my part of the country, you say, you're doing fantabulous. And he was a good man, but I'm thankful to be here today. How about you?
Yes.
It's a great day in the Lord. You know, I quit watching the news. I know what's going on. And somebody said, what's it all going to lead to? Well, it's called the end. It's going to end one day. But one thing I want us to think about today is that God is still on the saving hand. Time is still going. It's not stopped yet. That clock is still running. My watch is still running. The sun is still moving right now. Actually, we're moving, but I'm not a scientist, so I don't know that for a fact. But the bottom line is that God is still on our side. I got to tell you this. This week, I headed towards Huntsville, Alabama for some amateur radio stuff. We don't get to take vacations because of my wife's condition. So I drafted my daughter and granddaughter to watch over their. They call her Mimi. I call her Sheila, but, you know, but they've all got their names. But the thing was, I headed out. It was, of course, I didn't get up early enough to get before daylight, but I'm headed down 123 out of where I lived, down in Polk County into Greene. And when I got up, I looked around. I noticed there was no clouds in the sky, and I thought, well, I'm going to have a good day to travel that 500 miles. So I get in the car, or my blue car, and I head south. And all at once I noticed the sun stopped shining like it was cloudy. And I had just looked in the sky and did not see one cloud. Didn't see a cloud at all. And I was coming in through some trees. So I come back out on a clearing there and I looked and there was one cloud that was between me and the sun. And it just come on me saying, that's the way your sins are. It may be one thing that I allow him being the devil, to get in my way, to tempt me, one thing, and it's clouding me or keeping the sun, S-O-N, from shining on me. I thought, well, now, isn't that interesting? So the only way I could get where I could get back to the sun is that I had to be about my business and drive on down the road. My point is that sometimes it's only one little thing that it appears to be that's keeping us from the service of God. Satan's crafty. And, you know, they say, well, one of these days he's going to be loose. If he's not loose right now, I hate to see what's next. I worry about my grandkids. You know, things are getting bad, and I can get so discouraged and say, you know, it's just getting bad. It's just getting bad. But then I think about a God that when I was in my darkest time, when I was lost and undone without God, how that He came down from His throne in the Holy Spirit and save my soul. So as I made my way down the road, eventually that cloud moved on and the sun shined on me. Now, you and I know that our world or our country's in a mess. It's a mess. Oh, we could be so discouraged. Oh, woe is me. But I want to read to you out of the book of Joel. Second chapter, if you got your Bibles, want to go along with me. Joel, the book of Joel, it's in the Old Testament right after Hosea. And I think it's right before Amos. Yeah, it's before Amos. I worked with a lady, her last name was Amos. I could always remember that. But this is the second chapter, and I want to read this to you. I'm not going to try to keep you long, just a couple hours is all. No, I wouldn't do that to you. Well, I don't know, I better not say that. It's God's business. Joel chapter 2, it says, "Blow ye the trumpet of Zion, and sound an alarm in the holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for is nigh at hand." Now I'm going to stop right there for a minute. With what we see is going on, we get thinking, oh, it's a day of gloom. Let's read verse 2. "A day of darkness and of gloominess, a day of clouds, a day of thick darkness, as morning spread upon the mountains. A great people and a strong, there hath not been ever the like, neither shall be any more after it. Even in the years of many generations, a fire devoureth before them, behind them a flame burneth. The land is as a garden of Eden before them, and behind them desolate wilderness, yea, and nothing shall escape them. The appearance of them is as the appearance of horses, and as horsemen, so shall they run. Like the noise of chariots on the tops of mountains, shall they leap, like the noise of a flame of fire, and that devoureth the stubble. As a strong people set in battle array." Now remember that. Battle array. "Before their face the people say, be much pained. All faces shall gather blackness. They shall run like mighty men, and shall climb the wall like men of war. They shall march every one on his ways, and they shall not break their ranks. Neither shall one thrust another. They shall walk every one in his path. And when they fall upon the sword," listen to this, "they shall not be wounded. They shall run to and fro in the city. They shall run upon the wall. They shall climb upon the horses. They shall enter into the windows like a thief. And the earth shall quake before them. The earth shall tremble. The sun and moon shall be dark. And the stars shall withdraw their shining. The Lord shall utter his voice before his army. For his camp is very great." You're part of that camp. I want you to know that. "For he is strong with that executeth his word. For the day of the Lord is great, very terrible. And who shall abide it? Therefore also now, saith the Lord, turn ye every even to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, with mourning. And rent your heart, not your garments, and turn unto the Lord our God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil." Verse 14, "Who knoweth if he will return and repent, and leave a blessing behind him, even a meat offering and a drink offering unto the Lord your God. Blow the trumpet in Zion, sanctify a fast, call a solemn assembly, gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children and those that suck the breast. Let the bridegroom go forth of his chamber and the bride out of her closet. Let the priests and ministers of the Lord weep between the porch and the altar. Let them say, spare thy people, O Lord, and give not thine heritage to reproach. That the heathen should rule over them. Therefore should they say among the people, where is their God? Then will the Lord be jealous for his land, and pity his people. Yea, the Lord will answer and say unto his people, behold, I will send you corn and wine and oil, and ye shall be satisfied wherewith, and I will, or therewith, excuse me, and I will not more make you a reproach among the heathen, but I will remove far off from you the northern army, and will drive them into the hand, or into a land barren and desolate, with the face towards the east sea, and his hinder parts towards the uttermost sea. And his stink came up, and his ill savior shall come up, because he hath done great things. Now, I could read the rest of this, and you get a chance to do that. I'm going to stop right there for now. It goes on and says, fear the land, and fear not, O land, and be glad and rejoice. The Lord is great, and things, and so forth. What my point is, and my thought this morning is, God is great.
Amen.
God is great.
Amen.
Even though our world around us appears to be crumbling, our God is great. Do you know that God spoke this world into existence? I cannot imagine. I don't have the understanding within this little 2-inch by nothing mind of mine. I just cannot fathom or understand that when God started all of this, that Him and God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, because it says in John 1:1, for in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. So we know that He was there in the beginning, all three of them. Now, He spoke it into existence. He said, and if you break that first verse down, that verse down in the Genesis, He says, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness upon the face of the deep. But listen to this. The Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, not just God the Father, but it's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit said, let light be and light was. Now, I know that's not quoting exactly what the King James says, but if you'll break that down and you'll go hunt into the Hebrew, that's exactly what happened. God said, let light be. I can't get him to work. Light was. It's just amazing. So that same God that created, and you can go on and read the rest of that chapter, how He created all the seas and the cattle and everything. And on the last day that He worked, He created man in His own image and own likeness. So He created all this. He had this that much strength and might. You think a little thing like disrespectful people in Washington or Elkton or wherever it might be at can hinder His power and His work? No. No, I want to take you over to Corinthians. 1 Corinthians, it tells us over there. Let me just turn to it because I'll misquote it and then we'll all be in trouble. I'm going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I'll start in verse 50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corrupt inherit incorruption. Behold, I show, that's S-H-E-W, it's pronounced show. Look it up in the dictionary. It's not shoe, it's show. It's just one of those old English words. I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. Now, the same God that protected the world in the beginning, that protected all, even when Abraham himself took his son up to the mountain to slay him, and he knew he was coming back because he told him before he left, with me and the boys coming back, He'll take care of us today. Now, let's go on. It says, We shall be changed in a moment, twinkle of the eye. This is at the last trump. Trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible and shall be changed. For this corruption shall put on incorruption, and this mortal shall put in immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. You know, I don't have anything to worry about, really. We don't. I mean, we worry about everything, son. I know the sister was talking about her week and how things had went and the problems and everything that you faced. And one getting robbed of her and everything. It's just hard not to worry. But God said, I'll be with you always, even unto the end of the world. So let's go ahead and read on here. Verse 55, O death, where is thy sting? Or grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which gave us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast and immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So with that said, God is great. God is with us. Yes, Satan will get into our mind. Now, he didn't have access to my soul because it belongs to Jesus Christ. Jesus saved me at the age of 10. I was 10 years old in the back of True Hope Baptist Church in Springville, Missouri, over on this side, when I was seeking the Lord. And for a moment of time, I can't tell you the whole story, but I know when I come to myself, the burden was gone, peace was there. I was a child of God, and I felt different inside. I was still a 10-year-old boy. I still liked to watch the Flintstones. I still liked my bicycle and all that kind of stuff that I tried to give to God if he'd save me. And he didn't want that. He wanted me. But he saved my soul from sin. He is my protector. He is my guide. He tells us to put on an armor because God is great. What armor do we put on? Do we put on, and some of you may have been in the military. I wasn't. My daddy was a Marine. And, you know, they say once a Marine, always a Marine. So I always say I'm tough. I'm a son of a Marine. So they burnt a bunch of cancer off my arms and stuff. And this last week, I said, now this is going to sting. I said, that's okay. I'm a son of a Marine. Well, that's not what I should brag about. I'm a child of God. He says here, O death, where's thy sting? O grave, where's thy victory? In other words, that's the end of our life when we think, oh, that's all. I don't know if you stood and you watched people pass away. I watched my mama die. I watched my daddy die. I watched a whole people pass on. But it wasn't, in my heart, I was sad. I was in despair. But I do know, and as my daughter, as we sat there after mama died, she said, Daddy, do you think, she called her Grandma Nick, because my last name is Nicodemus, and she said, do you think Grandma Nick shouted all the way to heaven? I said, I bet she did. If she could do it, if it was available for her, why? Because God is good. God is on our side. So let's get back to our thought. That today, my friend, no matter how this world gets, no matter what happens, it can happen, be a day where they come through that door and say, we don't want you doing this no more. We don't want you practicing about this Jesus guy. We don't believe in him. We think it's just a fairy tale. We think it's just a myth. It's something that somebody made up. My friend, they can't stop me from praying. And I can preach the Word of God with a gun pointed at my head. And they can do away with this life. They can stop this body from functioning. But they can't stop my God from being good. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Well, think about that. Because he is my Savior, I am not fearful of death. I'm really not. I am not fearful of death. Now, I kind of wonder what's going to happen between here and there. How much suffering I'm going to have to do if I have a heart attack, or if I have a car wreck, or if I get brain cancer, or whatever it might be. But I don't fear death. Because I do know, my friend, on the other side, there's some waiting for me. Jesus said before he left, he says, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I'll come again and receive you unto myself. And there where I am, there you may be also. So, and if he also tells us, which he does in the Word of God, I will be with you always, even to the end of the world, to enter this generation. If he saved me by his blood, and he cares for me, and he loves me, oh, death, where's thy sting? Oh, grave, where's your victory? There's nothing that can be done. If they come in and they murder me for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, the only thing it'll do for me is change my address. I will no longer live in, well, the address is some other town that I really don't even live in. I'm not even in that county, but that's the address they give us. But I'll have a new address. Number one, Heaven Street. Number one, Heaven Street. They're within the sight of Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us that after that Jesus left this world, he went to the right hand side of the Father. Even Stephen, when he was being stoned to death, he saw through heaven and saw Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father. I'll see him face to face. Have you ever thought about that? That Savior that died for you, that one that has helped you through your life. I see a lot of people who've got the same color hair I got. And some of them don't have any at all, but that's okay. You can go back and see where God has helped you. When things were bad. In 2011, I watched my wife more or less die and come back to life. I'm not getting into all the details, but she had blood coming out. Her heart quit beating and the alarms went off. I was saddened because I thought she had died. But on the other hand, there was a joy in me thinking, oh, you just wait, honey, for me. Because I'm on my way too. Well, she didn't pass away. When I saw her this morning, she was still alive. But she has a home in heaven. God is good. God is great. Therefore, beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. When you got up this morning, I don't know about you, but there's some mornings I'd just rather just lay there. Especially since I retired, I got to think, I ain't got nothing to do. Well, yeah, I do. I got a lot of things to do. But we made our way here. You came to the house of God to praise Him, to pray, to hear the Word of God, to study Sunday school. It's a privilege because God is great. Our labor is not in vain. That beautiful song you sung. One day we'll be able to see everything as it really is. Have you ever thought about that? I'm about done, but have you ever thought about the day that we finally all gather together, judgment's over, everything's been done? We see this holy city, New Jerusalem. Brother Ron, I'll see you there, I know. And others, I'll start picking on names. I'll forget somebody's name real quick. But you know, the ones that we're all really going to go see is Jesus. There'll be no sun or moon there. There'll be no more sea. There'll be a river. It tells us in the Bible, river of life. It's got a tree of life, rather, bearing its fruit monthly. I don't want monthly because time will be no more, but that's what it says. And there we walk in. I hope we're all hand in hand. We'll have this new body that don't hurt no more. I'll be able to walk. I can't run no more. will hold and look at him, and he that sits on that throne will be Jesus. Oh, we'll be able to praise him. The Bible said we'll sing a song that even the angels won't be able to sing, because we'll be the redeemed. The Bible says we'll cast our crowns at his feet. There'll be more pain, no more sorrow, no more crying over there. God is great. Jesus said, as I quoted a while ago, that he went to prepare a place for us. And if he goes, he'll come back and get us and take us home. God is great. God is great. So with what's going on in the world, I need to tell you this. It wouldn't hurt us at all to find our closets and pray to God for our children and grandchildren, our nephews, our nieces, our neighbors, the little kids that are running down the road. That God would protect them in this mess. Did God cause the mess? No, no, no. Did he tell us the world would get like this? Yeah, he did. But he told us that when we see all these things come to pass, lift up your heads, for your Redeemer draweth nigh. He's going to come and get us. I've often thought, down there where my parents are buried at, and there's a bunch of family there, of course, and I got some at other places, of course, we all do, that if I'm standing there, right there next to Grandma and Grandpa and Mom and Cormay and her babies and the grandma's baby that died at birth, and then Mom and Dad, and I look up, and here comes Jesus. The clouds bust open. And there's Jesus with all his holy angels. Great trumpet sound. The earth is quaking. These graves are coming open. The Bible said the dead in Christ shall rise first. And us that remain shall be gathered together with him in the air. See, we got something to look forward to. So why are we dismayed? Why do we, or the Bible talks about wagging our heads? We got the Lord. God is great. So as you go through this week, my friends, may the Lord just bless you all over. May those troubles that you talked about, sister, and I understand. I know just when weeks just don't go very good. But I've got a Savior right here. And he walks with me, and he talks with me. And he tells me I'm his own. So be encouraged, my friends. Even though that the world is in a mess, my God is pure, and he's simple, and he's loving. May he walk with you this week. No matter where you go, I've got places to go. Got to go get my hearing aids looked at. I got this to do. But no matter what I do, do it in the Lord. I really like that song, sister. I don't know. You talked about Hank Snow. I got to meet him one time down in Nashville. When I had relatives that sung at the Opry way back there. They're all passed on. But and another song that I think of is that he touched me. Oh, he touched me. Okay, I'll tell you this, and I'm going to hush. I really am not going to keep you 2 hours. I was just kidding about that. I was 10 years old. I was 9 years old when I got lost. How'd you know that, Terry? Because Sister Gloria Bill, you, many of you probably know her. She's passed on. I was up front looking like over the seat, and Diana Ingram, Denise's sister, was down seeking the Lord. She's Donnie Lane's wife. Now, whoops. I can't talk without my hands. And I was just free as a bird. Sister Bill Uchenbach says, Terry, are you lost? And I said, no, I was. Things changed in here. The outside was the same, nobody, but I changed. I carried that for a year till I was 10. I'll not go through all the mechanics of it, but I was in the back of the house when I found the Lord. My mama was in bed. My grandpa was in the field a guy named Garland Poole said he was saved in a huckleberry patch down in northern Arkansas. The bottom line is they were saved right here. So you hold on to that salvation. Praise God for it this week. Pray for us and our family and our loved ones. I don't know if you heard here a couple of 3 weeks ago, a young man in Bolivar, down in Bolivar, gets shot in a truck, pickup truck. My daughter's husband's boy was sitting right next to me. It was there when the boy died. And I'm hoping that moved that boy, because there ain't nothing we can do about the one that passed away, to think about his soul. It was a sad day. But yet, God is great. Thank you for your attention. I pray, ask that you'd pray for us and our home. Pray for your good pastor. We just thank the world of him. Hopefully he'll be back next Sunday to bring you a good message. I get to watch it. The brethren puts it on YouTube, and I get to watch those and see what he says. It's always a blessing. It's just always a blessing.